The Crimson Deer and the Pale Queen. Chapter 1. Adam. The first man stood in satisfaction, just outside the gates of heaven, with his victorious host of proud, bloodstained Valkyries. They had just finished their purge of pride, and the satisfaction of slaying his mortal rival, slaughtering those who carried Lilith's legacy, and claiming ultimate victory over the degenerate denizens of Hell, had him on cloud nine. He was basking in vindication, ecstatic, so happy he could scream. An ultimate, all-encompassing conquest of everything he'd ever hated. He was imagining the look on Lilith's face, and even now, it was threatening to give him a hard-on. Remembering where he was, and who he had in front of him, Adam looked down at the deer demon with interest. Alistair looked like he'd rather be literally anywhere else. And he seemed a little afraid, too. Touching the collar around his neck, hand still clutched in Emily's small fingers. She was whispering comforting words to him, trying to keep him calm. Pfft, this was him? Lilith's proxy? What a joke! He'd barely put up a fight! The idiot didn't even have angelic weapons! Lut was still looking at him with disdain, though. Adam nudged her, shrugging.
Hey, what the fuck? What's with that look? You think this is stupid?
What the fuck, sir? I mean, seriously, you know, I respect every decision you make. I'd never go against you, but what the fuck? A demon?
Yeah, a demon. I think he's a funny, stupid demon, and I want to mess with him for fun. Now get the holy chains of binding and chain him up. We're going to take him to the gate.
But why? Why not just kill him?
Adam sighed. He couldn't actually tell her why he wanted to take this one in. Because he wanted to know what Alistair knew about his Lilith. Because he wanted a reaction out of Lilith. Because it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that he had to endure all these agonizing emotions and these years of self-doubt and rage while she didn't feel a fucking thing. When this broken pawn of hers told her with his own lips that her family was broken and dead, and she would, what, weep? Scream? Curse him? Call him a pig? A monster? A genocidal maniac? Fine. Good, whatever. As long as Lilith felt something, as long as she hurt, it was worth it.
Because Lut, I mean, like, look at him.
She looked at the radio demon, then at Adam, then the radio demon again. He was just laying there, staring up at them, Emily by his side, holding an arm under his upper back, helping him to sit up as she looked with disdain at Adam's cruel, gloating face. She didn't seem to really know what to make of it. She hadn't seen the first man like this before, not having been around him much at all until recently. Adam thought Sarah really had sheltered her too much.
What? Am I missing something? What's so special about him?
Lut asked.
I mean, look, he's got little ears. Antlers, he's like a gazelle or something. Isn't that neat? Deer!
Alistair snapped, trying to stand, but failing and falling back down as the junior seraph tended to him. She'd healed him enough that he wouldn't die, but he still had lost a lot of blood.
Yes, honey?
Adam asked him playfully over Lut's shoulder, and he heard the humbled overlord growl in rage.
Anyway, I want to keep him.
What?
Lut and Alistair cried simultaneously, one in shock, the other in horror.
Yeah, I've always wanted a pet, and like, I don't know, pets that can't talk are boring.
Sir, we can get you a parrot or some...
No, Lut, damn it, that's not the fucking same!
Adam was sick of this bullshit now, sick of being questioned and talked down to. He was the leader, he was in charge, and for fuck's sakes, if he wanted to drag that little shit into those gates and poke him in the eye for fun for the rest of eternity, then damn it, he'd do it. He was the first fucking man. He didn't need to justify himself to anyone, least of all a subordinate. He didn't say that, though. The carrot, not the stick this time. Lute looked annoyed, but he knew just how to reel her in.
Come on, Lute, you know it'll be fun. We can make him walk around on all fours.
Hey, wait!
Alistair interjected, but Adam spoke over him.
Eat grass in the front yard!
I will not!
Dress him up in funny outfits. It'll be so fucking funny, Lute. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You know it'll be worth it.
She hesitated for a moment, then a smile began to spread across her lips as she imagined all those hilarious, humiliating things. The only thing more fun than killing sinners was making them into a joke, especially one with an ego this big.
All right, sir. I'm open to the idea.
Hell yeah, bitch! That's why you are my hype girl!
He said, putting an arm around Lute as she blushed.
Sir, not in front of the girls,
she said, but Adam only grinned wider.
What? Hey!
Alistair almost tried to stand again, but he couldn't, Emily catching him before he could fall hard and hurt himself. The radio demon settled with muttering hateful curses while lying there, breathing short, ragged breaths as the angel fussed over him.
I will not be your plaything, first man,
Alistair ordered. He raised a hand, and his grin widened, then faltered. He thrust the hand at Adam again and again, and then roared in rage.
What the fuck is wrong with my magic?
He screamed.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell ya, Adam said, smirking. That collar around your neck dampens your magic. You are as helpless as a mortal right now.
If looks could kill, Adam would have been reduced to dust. The radio demon glared at him with pure, unfiltered rage and hate, fist clenching so hard his knuckles were white. He wasn't even able to maintain his smile anymore. However, unfortunately for Alistair, looks could not kill, and so Adam laughed at his impotent rage. Then he raised his fist above his head and yelled out in the booming voice of a battlefield commander.
All right, ladies, we did it! Redemption is dead! Lucifer has fallen, hell is decimated, and they will fear me! Us! Heaven itself! Until the end of time! Give yourselves a cheer, bad bitches! You fucking earned it!
The answering cheer shook the air itself as the voices of Adam's glorious host rose in rapturous praise, raising bloody weapons to the sky. Their roar was a cacophony of violent, zealous fervor and pride. Lute joined her voice to the glorious battle cry, and Alistair hung his head and bit his lip. He was at their mercy now, and Adam could tell he knew it.
Now! Fuck off! Take a rest, get a drink, and for fuck's sakes, enjoy yourselves!
The exorcists cheered again and scattered towards the gates of heaven to go enjoy their off time, at least until next year. Charlie's soft weeping sounded from behind Adam when the cheering had finally died away, and he looked down at her with disdain.
Oh yeah, you're still here.
He noticed that Alistair had seen her once the crowd had cleared, chained up in holy chains like him, broken down and miserable.
Charlie, my dear,
Alistair said to her, but the princess shook her head.
Don't, Alistair. There's nothing you can say to make it better. Everyone is gone. My dream is dead. I just... Oh, Charlie...
Emily whispered, eyes wide with shock at how broken she was. For some reason, the junior seraphim had a soft spot for the princess, always pining for her stupid ideas and feeling bad for her. She'd been bitching and moaning about the extermination every day for a month leading up to it, and he'd had just about enough of her. The little demon bitch couldn't sway him as easily as she did the seraph with crocodile tears. Charlie was just like her mom, clearly trying to make him feel bad so she could beat him down later. It wouldn't work. Not this time. She was a creature of hell. Deception was in her nature, and now he was wise enough to know not to trust her sad, pretty little face. Charlie's breath came in a long, hitching gasp, and then she began another fit of hopeless, wailing cries, her shoulders slumped and shaking as she wept. The princess, now heir apparent to hell, looked for all the world like she had given up and was just awaiting death. She barely even seemed to realize that she was outside the gates of heaven.
Charlie!
But Alistair's voice cut off as Adam lifted Alistair like a sack of potatoes and tossed him over his shoulder. The radio demon roared in pain, and Emily cringed in sympathy for the former overlord's agonized state as he was pulled away from her.
Easy with him, Adam. He won't bleed out, but his insides are still hurt. Don't put so much pressure on them, the Seraph said.
Yeah, whatever, he said over his shoulder. Do me a favor, Emily. Take Lilith's little hottie here to the angelic court. I think they'll want to talk to her, considering she'll be the new ruler of hell.
Wait, what?
Emily said, mouth drooped open in shock.
You mean you killed Lucifer Morningstar? That was never part of the plan.
Lucifer, like, over half the overlords, almost every sinner, some hellborn. I mean, fuck it, you know, who cares?
Emily was mortified, putting a hand to her mouth.
But by the divine powers, Adam, how could you have done that? Those were people. You killed thousands upon thousands of innocent people.
Sinners aren't innocent, Seraph. It's about time you grow up and learn that, Lute said over her shoulder as they walked towards the gate, leaving Emily there to tend to the broken princess. They approached the front gate, and St. Peter waved with a friendly smile, but stopped as he noticed Alistair.
Adam, I trust the extermination went well. I'd let you in, but, who is that? I'm pretty sure he isn't on my list.
Sup, Pete? Yeah, this is Alistair. He's a memento souvenir toy, I guess, from hell. Found him down there exterminating. He was defending the princess and her stupid fucking hotel, if you can believe it. Anyway, I wanted to keep him, so, let me in.
Peter looked at him with incredulity, laughing nervously.
Come on, let's go. I got a bottle of Jim Beam back home waiting for me,
Adam said, dismissing St. Peter's concern with a wave of his hand.
That's funny, Adam. Sinners in heaven, wow. I mean, that's a good one.
Pete, open the fucking gate. I don't got all day.
Adam gritted his teeth, and Luke glared at the divine saint.
If it means anything, I really don't want to go in there,
Alistair said, voice still strained slightly from being tossed over Adam's shoulder with a massive wound in his torso.
Speak when spoken to, sinner!
Lute snapped at him. Alistair growled, annoyed, but he did as he was told, and held his peace.
Let me just talk to Gabriel about this, Peter said.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, Peter, Gabe is such a wet blanket, don't!
But it was too late. St. Peter did something behind his little podium that Adam couldn't see, probably hit some kind of panic button, and Gabriel, the messenger of the divine and archangel of heaven, stepped out of a portal moments later. He was tall, with a tan skin tone, wavy chestnut hair that came to his shoulders, a beatific face, soft green eyes flecked with gold. His halo was green, and in front of its ring was a burning heart, like the center jewel of some great floating crown. His wings were a light brown touched with white spots, and he wore a robe of white with swirling green accents. He was handsome and beautiful all at once, and his expression was one of peace and understanding.
Yes, Peter, what is it?
He asked, tone soft as silk, compassionate and balanced.
Adam wants to bring a sinner into hell with him,
he whispered, as if the thought alone of allowing Alistair past the gates could bring all of heaven crashing down. Gabriel looked at the radio demon with concern. A small frown creased his features.
Adam, what is the meaning of this?
Why would you seek to bring a sinner into heaven? Regardless of tradition, you yourself decry the existence of sinners entirely, and go on many campaigns to see them slaughtered. Why now do you bring one to come here, and presumably stay near you? The first man shrugged, putting on a facade of apathy.
I don't know, felt like it. I just think he'd be funny to have around to mess with. He's such a pompous, stuck-up little fuck, I just want to knock him down a peg.
Gabriel raised a skeptical eyebrow. He was a very senior archangel, and Adam sighed.
Felt like it?
He inquired, clearly not buying it for a moment. The first man changed tactics, figuring that an appeal to fairness might be a better approach.
You let Lilith in? Come on! He's got a dampening collar on him. He's going to be forced to stay with me. Just be cool, Gabe. Come on, man.
There was a long pause before Gabriel sighed.
We did let Lilith in. And I suppose on your estate, he can't cause any trouble. As long as you keep him there until you are done with knocking him down a peg, he said,
a slight tone of quizzical amusement coming into his voice towards the end.
Of course, of course!
Adam scoffed, waving away the concern like the messenger had been silly even to mention it.
You got my word on it, Gabe.
He'll never let you...
Alistair started, but the gate swung open, and the radio demon made a hopeless sort of whine, knowing that he would be denied the mercy of death and be forced to endure yet more suffering.
Ha ha! Thanks, man! You're the best!
He said, shooting the angel finger guns. St. Peter looked unsure, and Gabriel's eyes flashed with irritation.
Do not confuse my kindness for leniency, first man, he said. If that creature causes any trouble at all, you will be held personally responsible. You know what can happen to angels who threaten heaven.
Adam felt a touch of fear enter his heart.
Yeah, man, you got it.
He replied, waving over his shoulder and shuddering. Gabriel could be scary as shit sometimes. His tone never changed, and he was always so calm that whenever any edge of emotion entered his tone at all, it carried a lot of weight.
You know, I think I can walk on my own,
Alistair said. Adam was getting a little sick of carrying him anyway. So he set the radio demon down on his feet as they walked onto the street of gold. He almost fell again, so Adam sighed and grabbed him around the waist, flying upward while Alistair kicked and protested.
Hey, put me down,
he said, but Adam ignored him.
I'll meet you back at the estate, Loot, he said. Start on dinner, I'm fucking hungry.
Well, okay, sir, but where will you go?
She yelled after him as he flew higher and farther.
Don't worry about it! See you soon!
Before she could ask any more questions, he flew off.
Where are we going?
Alistair said, squirming in Adam's grip as he carried the demon back towards the beach where he knew that Lilith was staying.
To see someone we both know,
Adam said under his breath, so I can see her heartbreak like mine did. The radio demon's next question was drowned by the wind, as Adam picked up speed and climbed higher into the air.
She doesn't care, huh? Yeah, we'll see about that, he growled under his breath.